Francesca Albanese was with us in studio earlier. She's in Ireland at the invitation of universities here. She's the UN Special Rapporteur on the occupied Palestinian territories. She's not allowed into Gaza and told us what's happening in Gaza is the accelerating of the total destruction of life. Israeli soldiers have extended ground operations there. People in the territory have been given evacuation orders again. The ceasefire in a war that's lasted almost a year and a half and killed over 40,000 people in Gaza ended this week with resumed Israeli bombing, over 400 deaths, and a warning from their prime minister to completely destroy Gaza. Jonathan Conricus is a former Israeli Defence Force spokesperson and combat commander in Gaza. He's now a senior fellow at the US-based think tank Foundation for Defence of Democracies. Jonathan Conricus, good morning, and thank you for taking our call.
Good morning.
You've said in interviews in recent days to expect now a, quote, very different type of Israeli military action, not like what we've become accustomed to seeing throughout the war, stronger, more decisive, more violent. Gaza is already reduced to rubble and over 40,000 people are dead. What does more violent mean?
Well, first of all, let's hope we don't need to get there, and let's hope that the military pressure now applied on Hamas will impress upon Hamas that it is time to release 59 Israeli hostages, 24 of them whom are presumed to be alive. And if Hamas does that, and if they agree to the American proposal, then I'm quite sure that Israel will recalculate its steps going forward, and maybe the continuation of war will be unnecessary. But as of now, unfortunately, Hamas continues to hold those 59 Israelis, some of them that they've murdered in captivity, and they've been in Hamas captivity for almost a year and a half, kept in Hamas dungeons. And that's the first demand that Israel has: give us our people back, and then we can discuss the future of Gaza. And I appreciate that you have Francesca Albanese on. I think she is a person on a personal crusade against Israel. I think she has absolutely no legal and legitimate standing to be talking about what's going on, because she has lost her moral compass, and it seems to be fueled only by hatred against Israel and supporting Hamas. And I think it is extremely regrettable that she's given that kind of amplitude. And frankly, I think she is way, way out of her bounds.
She says that people in Gaza are already dying from a lack of food, contaminated drinking water, have no access to proper medical treatment, and that famine has been looming for over a year. And this week, over 400 people have been killed by more Israeli bombings, carpet bombings, as she put it. Why is Israel continuing to kill the people of Gaza?
Does she also speak about the reign of terror of Hamas? That Hamas,
if you could address the question, please. Why is Israel continuing to kill the people of Gaza?
I am addressing the question. The cause here, the issue here, is that there's a terrorist organization that governs the Gaza Strip. They are the ones that are preventing food from getting to everybody. There's enough food in Gaza to last for 3.5 or 4 months. Hamas is preventing people from getting it. Hamas is using Palestinians as their human shields. They have been doing so for the last year and a half of fighting. They're hiding in their tunnels while people are exposed above ground. And I think they are the ones who should be criticised and held accountable for the
this
situation,
week, Jonathan,
not the state of Israel.
This week, the targeting of Hamas, as you put it, and as the Israeli government put it, the timing in the middle of the night, when the truce was still officially in place, meant that the targets were at home with their families in residential areas during Ramadan. Why did Israel do that?
Well, would you rather have us warn the terrorists before we strike them and tell them we're going to strike you? No. And there's no ceasefire in place, actually. It ended about 2.5 weeks ago, and we've been in this interim period where, unfortunately, Hamas continues to hold on to hostages and there hasn't been fighting. So officially, there's no ceasefire in place.
Well, the ceasefire was breached by Israel. They breached the ceasefire they signed in January. Their negotiators didn't turn up for the start of talks in Doha about the second stage. When they did send a delegation to Cairo and Doha, it was only with a limited mandate to discuss an extension of the first stage, not the withdrawal of troops and a permanent end to the war for the second stage.
No, the issue here really is Hamas's refusal to release Israeli hostages.
But how will a more violent approach, as you have endorsed, to Gaza, more bombing, ensure the safe return of hostages?
Well, it would be nice if Hamas hadn't taken them from the beginning, and it would be even better if they adhered to global condemnations and actually released our hostages. That would make things very much easier, and it would make it unnecessary for Israel to use force. But since that is not the case, and Hamas continues to hold Israeli hostages, continues to espouse a genocidal intent towards the entire state of Israel and the Jewish population, Israel is left with very few choices but to defend itself and to use military force.
Well, it is Israel who is currently charged with genocide at the International Court of Justice. The approach that's being taken in relation to the return of hostages is not one that is endorsed by all the families of the hostages. They're worried that Israel's more violent approach, to use your own phrase, means that they won't return alive.
Yes, and that is probably the only thing that you've said this interview, the only question where I can find a grain of truth in, and that is a concern. We find ourselves in an extremely difficult dilemma. We're damned if we do, and we're damned if we don't. We're damned if we fight and defend ourselves and apply military pressure, and we're damned if we don't. And that's an extremely difficult situation that I hope no other democracy will find itself in. Israel, unfortunately, is in that situation, and we're trying to find our way out, trying to square that circle of getting our people home, freeing our 59 hostages, and making sure that in the future, this attack, like October 7, never happens again from Gaza. That is also a very important thing to keep in mind. And for some reason, that's missing from the content of your reporting. This started not with Israel launching a war. This started with an unprovoked massacre on October the 7th by Palestinians, both military and Hamas, and as you prefer to them, call them ordinary civilians, who invaded into Israel, butchered, raped, burned, and pillaged. That is how they started, and that is what Israel is fighting.
What's the future for those ordinary civilians, for the families, the women, the children, many of whom had returned to the ruins of their homes after that ceasefire and are on the move again? What's the future for them now?
So I would hope for a future of prosperity, of dignity for them, and a dignified and peaceful existence. I would hope for them to get rid of Hamas, and I would hope for them to start focusing on their future instead of trying to ruining ours. And if they do, if they renounce Hamas, if they focus on building their own future instead of trying to ruin Israel, then I think that there are good things that can lie ahead. But it is conditioned upon that. If they continue down the path of jihad, and if they continue to try to destroy what we have built, then it's going to be war and it's going to be suffering. And Israel isn't going to just roll over and die and say, you know what, let's go ahead with your dreams of jihad and you take all of Israel. That's not going to happen. And the sooner that Palestinians understand it, the better.
Okay.
And then we could probably build a prosperous future together.
Jonathan Conricus, former Israeli Defense Force spokesperson, thank you very much for speaking with us.